Hello, my name is Janek Kuczkiewicz. I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of Trade Union Rights at the ICFTU, that's the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, which is the largest international umbrella body for national trade union centers like the AFL-CIO, for instance, which is our affiliate in the United States.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today. It's really great to hear the global perspective on things.
My pleasure.
The ICFTU, the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, this week wrote a letter to the President of South Korea. What did the ICFTU say in that letter?
Well, basically, we protested against a number of attacks by the police forces, by the judicial system of South Korea, against members and leaders of one of our two affiliates in that country, namely the KCTU, the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions. We have two member organizations in that country, the FKTU, the Federation of Korean Trade Unions, which has been affiliated with us for, I think, like 30 years, and the KCTU, which is a more left-wing national center, which has affiliated in recent years in the wake of Korea's accession to the ILO, the International Labor Organization, based in Geneva, and to the OECD.
Okay, and what's the South Korean government is targeting trade union leaders in South Korea?
Well, obviously, the impact of the Asian financial crisis, which started in 1997, is still very strong in Korea. There has been a huge drive by the government at restructuring the ailing Korean industry, the so-called large industrial groups called chaebols, needed to restructure in the wake of the financial crisis, in the wake also of a known very severe domestic banking crisis particularly, and it has attempted to modify the legislation and the practice in order to allow major industrial groups to sack literally tens of thousands of workers. Now, one extremely important thing in that country is that next to the job itself, employment entails a number of things which are normally taken for granted in other countries, like access to education for one's children, access to health, even access to housing. All of these things are very closely connected to a person's actual employment for a company. So when he or she loses their job, automatically they also lose, for instance, their housing, access to school for their kids, access to health clinics, to child care facilities, and so on. So the impact of unemployment is extremely dramatic for the workers concerned, and therefore the unions, and particularly the KCTU, but to a very large extent our other affiliate, the FKTU as well, have been at the forefront to protest against the ways that the government has chosen to start this major restructuring of the economy and of the major companies. And at times, workers have resorted to strikes and other types of industrial action, prompting a very severe response of the government, which is reminding of the very strong armed tactics which were used by the previous Korean administrations, which, as you may recall, were very right-wing, to say the least. And in that process, the police has used violence on a number of incidents. We have video footage, we have pictures, for instance, where you see police, heavily armed police, literally jumping on the heads of defenseless people lying on the ground, some with their hands tied up, rather, and a number of very ugly scenes like that have been seen or reported to us. So we have written to the president, Mr. Kim Dae-jung, who, by the way, is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. So we, amongst other things, called on his sense of statesmanship to tell him that, you know, a conduct by his government along those lines is really unworthy of a democratic country, and certainly unworthy of a country led by a Nobel Peace Prize laureate.
Okay, so the things that are at stake for South Korean workers are really quite dramatic. Their jobs come with their education. They bring them education, they bring them health care, they bring them housing. Here in the U.S., we can understand that losing your job means losing health care frequently, but the rest of it is not quite so familiar. These are pretty high stakes. When did the attacks against union leaders take place? Has it only just been recently, or has this been going on for some time?
No, look, first of all, Korea has a tradition of heavy repression against independent trade union activists and leaders. Hundreds of trade unionists have been jailed over the last 10 years, if not longer than that. Many of them have been kept in jail, sometimes with trial, sometimes without trial, for years on end. Some have been tortured at the hands of police. The police has regularly organized attempts to capture trade union leaders, really ambushed them in many cases. And over the years, the ICFTU has taken the South Korean government to task in various international fora, like the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, where with the assistance of the Trade Union Advisory Committee, the so-called TUAC OECD, we have insisted that the government respect the commitment which it gave formally to the OECD upon joining the organization, that it would respect international labor standards, including the right to organize and freedom of association for trade union purposes. What we have also done is that we have over the years lodged a number of complaints at the International Labor Organization, the ILO in Geneva, which has a committee, the so-called Committee on Freedom of Association, specifically entrusted with examining complaints against governments of member states, and the ILO Committee of Freedom of Association has issued a number of recommendations to the government over the years, demanding first and foremost that it stop repressing trade union leaders and activists for the exercise of their legitimate trade union activities. And indeed, we do believe that the activities run by the trade unions in Korea, including those opposing the restructuring that we've talked about earlier, we believe that those rights are really very severely infringed. Now, that has been going on for a number of years, but in the first month or even maybe a year and a half of the presidency of Mr. Kim Dae-jung, we had seen an improvement. For instance, our affiliate, the KCTU, was formally recognized and registered as a bona fide trade union center at national level. The government has also given in on a number of other demands that we and the Korean unionists themselves had made over the year. For instance, the right of teachers to organize independently, and the number of provisions affecting the right to strike. In Korea, for instance, it is very easy for the police to issue an arrest warrant against you on the basis of a law which is called obstruction to business. In other words, if you are calling upon your fellow workers not to go, not to show up at work for industrial relations reasons, well, it's very easy for the prosecutor's office to issue an arrest warrant against you. We had seen an improvement throughout the year 2000, I would say, and we were obviously very upset at seeing that the government, although it is now a fully democratically elected government, has resorted to using those same tactics again. And that means attacks by heavily armed police forces against peaceful demonstrations or marches, attacks including with helicopters on workers occupying their work premises, the issuing by the prosecutor's office of a string of arrest warrants against the entire leadership of our affiliate, the KCTU, the actual arrests of several of them, many cases of beatings, injuries. It is not uncommon for Korean riot police to attack a crowd with pregnant women with tear gas in truncheons. We've seen that happen over the years, and obviously we are anguished at seeing that happen again.
Okay. The I think people in the United States would be surprised to know that South Korea is such a repressive government. That's certainly not a message that comes through our media very clearly, if at all. I'd also like you to comment on the role of the International Monetary Fund in the repression that's underway now, and also in President Kim Dae-jung's turn toward more repressive tactics after coming off or beginning his term a little bit more optimistically.
Well, obviously the International Monetary Fund is accused by Korean workers of being behind the massive restructuring process that we discussed earlier. And to a large extent, we must admit that the government is actually implementing IMF and World Bank policies. Now, whether that means that the IMF actually condones the practice of the Korean judiciary and police forces is another issue. We have certainly spared no effort in informing the World Bank and the IMF of the actual situation in Korea. We have occasionally had serious feedback from the IMF on those issues. They are certainly concerned about the situation of workers, the workforce in general in Korea. They are certainly obviously concerned about the consequences of the absence of a social safety network, what I had mentioned earlier, the fact that so many advantages are linked to one's job in Korea, like the education, health, and so on. However, that has not prompted the IMF to desist from its policies, and in that sense, the Korean workers certainly have a legitimate case when they take the IMF to task. But again, I could not say that, to the best of our knowledge at least, the IMF formally condones the attitude of the Korean government. I rather think that the violence which we have seen unleashed over the last few weeks, or certainly last 2 months, against the Korean trade unions has more to do with the traditional approach of a very authoritative, authoritarian rather, regime against its own population. After all, nobody has forgotten, I think, that South Korea was ruled by an iron fist for the best of the post-war period. And there is a tradition of violence being used against the population. There has been a number of massacres, including the very famous Gwangju massacre of 1982, if my memory is correct, in which several hundred people died, literally shot by police in during a very peaceful demonstration. There has been a number of cases of very severe repression against political activists, against opponents. Kim Dae-jung, the present president, spent several years in jail himself, amongst other things, for advocating dialogue with North Korea and the entire idea of reunification. So it is not surprising as such that such methods are being used in Korea. What is surprising is that after the various pledges to democratize the country that Mr. Kim Dae-jung made when he took office, we see him leading a government that has once again resorted to the old methods of confrontation and violence.
Okay, it certainly does seem that the International Monetary Fund mandates and the Structural Adjustment Program requirements sort of create the need for the repression that we're seeing today. Is that not an accurate understanding?
Well, you could put it that way. There is certainly a direct link between the hardship suffered by the Korean workers through these massive retrenchment programs and the fact that they now oppose this restructuring. It must also be recognized that Korea has a culture of antagonism. It is not infrequent for workers to go on the offensive themselves. We have studied that for a very long time now. But it is a fact that the government should abide by international rules and international legal standards, and one of these standards is that they should respect the workers' freedom to associate and organize freely in order to defend their social and economic interests. That is what they are doing, according to my organization, and that is clearly why they are now being attacked and repressed by the authorities. Now, whether that is a direct or an indirect result of IMF policies, that may remain an open question.
Okay.
There is clearly a link. Now, who is responsible? We believe that it is the government's duty to implement international law in its territory.
Okay. Some of the strikes that we've seen in recent weeks have been over General Motors in particular, trying to purchase Daewoo. And I'm wondering what role then the United States is playing in the violence that we see, or again, might be playing a role instigating it, and also what role workers in the United States can play in helping workers in South Korea.
Well, I think your second question is easier to reply to, because the AFL-CIO, which is our member organization in your country, has been very active in its solidarity actions towards the Korean workers. They have sent missions over there. The International Department of the AFL-CIO has been very involved with the Korean issue over the years. We have denounced attacks against Korean unions at the International Labour Organization's annual conference, which just concluded last week in Geneva, and the U.S. workers' delegation was very active in that. So they, I think, have spared no effort to assure the their Korean colleagues of their very active solidarity. As to the role of the United States itself in terms of the industrial powers that you mentioned, specifically General Motors, well, obviously, any macroeconomic operations like that, like the purchasing of a major group such as Daewoo, must by nature have an impact on the situation on the ground. Again, I am not saying that the CEO of General Motors bears a direct responsibility for people that have been taken to hospital after being beaten by the Korean police, but clearly if you adopt a global approach to global issues, then nobody is entirely blameless in that situation.
Okay. If people would like to learn more about what's happening in South Korea and find out if the very strongly worded letter from Bill Jordan, the director of the ICFTU, if that letter has any impact on what's happening in South Korea, where can they go for more information about this?
Well, I would definitely suggest to your listeners to visit our website, which is very easy to find. It's www.icftu, that's for International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, .org. So I repeat, www.icftu.org. And I think our most recent press release on Korea still features on the very top of the list on our homepage, and there is a search engine on that front page, and information is quite easy to find. More detailed information on the situation in Korea can also be found on the website of the International Labour Organization, that's www.ilo.org, and as I said earlier, the ILO has issued a number of rulings over the situation of industrial relations in South Korea over the year. Very detailed reports of the ILO Committee on Freedom Association can be found on their website. And in the last resort, I would invite any listeners that are interested in the question to contact the International Department of the AFL-CIO in Washington, D.C., and they should be able to help as well.
Okay, terrific. Yanek Kuchkovich, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much for your interest.